The fun, exciting baptism stuff first. My name is Brad. I've heard my name a lot this morning. But I have to do a sad thing first as a youth pastor. And so I'm going to invite Hazel up. And we'll tie this in. Hazel was the last person I baptized last year. But what these people keep doing to me is they come and I get to know them and I start loving them and then they leave. So Meg, did you bring the rope? We're tying her down. But Meg's going to come up. So, Hazel, just really quickly, I'll give you this mic because it'll be weird if you're talking to my chest. where are you heading? What are you doing? And what can we be praying for you as you go?
Okay, so I'm leaving next Thursday and I'm moving down to Greymouth and I'm going to be studying outdoor education. So hopefully in the future I'll become like a camp leader at stuff like Outward Bound or Hillary Outdoors. And I guess pray for me as I settle in, that I'll settle in okay, far away from my family and everything, and that I'll find a good church that I can settle into.
Cool. Awesome. Meg can have the... Cool. So we're going to pray now, and then as after the baptisms, especially you guys, youth guys, just gather around Hazel and pray for her again, but we'll pray now. Do you want to go first or second? You go first. Always make me cry. Cool. Okay, I've got a picture, or pictures. Do I have a picture? Okay, cool. So, this is going somewhere, I promise. A week ago, a whole group of us joined 5,000 other people at a music festival, Festival One. You can see different pictures and concerts and stuff. And based on those pictures alone, all you would probably determine is lots of crowds and loud music, camping in fields, teenagers keeping adults up at 3 in the morning, all sorts of weird and wonderful things. But what you don't see from those pictures is the unseen. What you don't see is every act that I went to go see, men and women standing up and declaring their faith, talking about God's faithfulness through their lyrics and their words, but also through their stories and their actions. I go up and I'm part of the crew, so I get to sit behind the scenes and listen to the artists and the crew after they've been serving, after they've been sharing. And what you don't see and what goes unseen is not only the man hours in making a festival like that work, but I see artists praying before they go on stage. I see crew talking about how they're serving and seeing God moving through that space. As a youth pastor in that space, what I get to do as well, and what you don't see from these pictures, is the conversations had, the laughter had, silly things like dyeing hair and mucking around, but the not so silly things too, like stealing away with a young adult to talk about this year and the faith journey that we're going to go on together, sitting down with three or four of them to discuss how we can mentor and transition through young adulthood. Countless other conversations about how life is tracking. You don't see these. A friend of mine who I don't see very often, he and I sat next to the skate ramp, shared about the joys and the turmoil of our years, and I got to pray for him and his wife as they struggle to start a family. And in that tender moment and amongst the chaos, there is so much good and unseen things, and that is why I am stupid enough to go 15, 16 years in a row and will continue to go 15, 16 years more if I get to experience the unseen actions of God through a festival like that. That was my weekend. That was a very cool weekend. This is one of my favorite photos. Yeah, completely. It's the only reason. So as you look at this photo, as you see the scene nature of this photo, there are two handsome men sitting, standing, sitting, standing in water. And if all you would know from that is it could be a staff retreat, I guess. if you weren't there on the day, you would know very little of what is going on in that particular picture potentially, but because you are sitting here at a baptism service, you are probably drawing dots, and this is me getting baptized, judging by the handsomeness, at about 25, 26 years old. I can't remember the day exactly. I remember the moment. I remember the coldness of the water. I remember Daryl holding me under longer than I thought he would. just kidding. But what I remember most of all, and why it is my favorite photo, is not because of what you see, but because of the unseen. Because what was going on behind the scenes, and to anyone who doesn't know, you wouldn't know, but I will eventually share with you what the unseen was. Today, other people are going to get baptized. It's going to look a little different to that. There are going to be different people in the water. The water's going to be down in the church. We're going to file down there, and we're going to hear their stories. We're going to celebrate with them as they get baptized. They will jump in. You will hear words. That is the scene. But I want to talk about what is unseen and why we do what we do and what it means. And so we're going to jump into some Bible verses, because that's a good place to be. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the work of God, who raised him from the dead. We baptize because it's talked about in the Bible. We baptize because we are asked to do it. One of the things that motivated me to get baptized at that age, I'd been serving for a long time in church. I'd come to faith at 17. As a young child, I was the only kid in my family. I'm the only Christian in my family. And surprisingly, for some reason, my parents had me baptized, even though they aren't believers, because culturally it's just what you did. But for some reason, they didn't do it for my sibling. And somehow I ended up being a youth pastor. But I can't remember that moment. And so in talking about it here amongst the staff, and as we were wrestling with what baptism is, and as we invite other people into it, it became clear that I wanted to do that which connected me to Christ. I want to be a person that always does that which connects me to Christ. And this seemed like such a simple act of obedience to do something that on the surface looks a little silly. A group of people leaving church, going down to a very cold inlet and dunking one person under the water, all cheering, and then going and getting lunch. Very absurd and silly, but it connected me to what Christ has commanded me to do. It identifies me with his death and his resurrection. It is what a simple act of obedience that I want to, in all ways, shapes, and forms, be someone who does that. If I have an opportunity to do it, I will do it. That is the first thing about this picture that I love so much. It reminds me to be God's man in all circumstances. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Romans 6:4. Again, that's that identifying with Christ, recognizing and knowing what he has done for me. We have sung songs of worship and praise. If you are a believer here, you are secure in him. And as we baptize people today, they are declaring that. They are loved by God before they are baptized. They are believers and followers of him before they are baptized. Baptized doesn't change that reality. It doesn't make them anything that they are not. They are already his children. After baptism, they have just declared and made it publicly known in this display that connects them right back to Scripture and through church, as we've done it in all places. And no doubt on this Sunday, there are many people getting baptized around the world, and that is a cool thought. It is our connection point as an act of obedience. It is a person who believes saying, I follow, I will be that person, I will be someone for God. The thing that happened at Festival One is I had a lot of conversations with people about baptism. And I'm about to talk, and if I had those conversations with you, I love you dearly. This is meant to be encouraging and challenging. If it's convicting, it's not for you personally, or maybe it is, but I have no one particular in mind. Just a lot of these young people that I love and know dearly. In talking to people about baptism and potentially being baptized, there's some that are really excited and there were some that were kind of nervous, and I didn't quite understand the nervousness. I didn't quite understand the trepidation. And I have a sense and a feeling that we often look at the people involved in baptism and we make it too much about what's going on, about the scene, too much about the function, the form, too much about the people. And that's an important part of it, but is not the part of it. And so there are nervous young people that I get to talk to, and I get the sense that maybe you're not feeling ready and right and adequate and good enough, and you're kind of missing the idea of this. I can tell you now that the guy sitting in that water will never measure up to God's standard. The guy sitting in that water before that was a dirty, unclean sinner, and left to his own devices, he would continue being a dirty, unclean sinner. Because that is what I am. In my baptism, I recognize this. Oh, no, I'm going to skip a bit. Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." In my own baptism and in baptism, we recognize our position. We recognize that without Christ as our Savior, without Christ in our lives, there is no hope. There is no righteousness. It is not me that makes baptism worthy. It is not me that is doing anything in that moment. It is not the people that are baptizing that are doing anything in the moment. They are agents of what is going on unseen. Jesus came to reconcile the sick, the lost, and the broken to him. And then I get the sense, in talking to young people about baptism and talking to not-so-young people about baptism, that there's a nervousness around stapling your colors to the mast. We live in an age where we have so many choices put before us. We can come and go. We are an affluent Western country, and we have more options than we will ever be able to. And if you are fearfully worrying about baptism because you are concerned about what life may throw up and not throw up and the twists and turns you will take, you are also missing the point as well. And it wasn't big enough to fit on the screen, but I'll put up one verse, but I want to read the context to it. And it's in Romans 8. Because again, what is unseen and the most important person at play in this whole baptism thing is Jesus himself and God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. And so as we baptize people today and as people consider baptism, I want you to think about this. So I'm starting at verse 31 and then I'll join you on screen. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ our Lord. Baptisms, the act of baptism, the testimony of burying oneself under the water and being raised, it's all to do with Jesus. The people today are declaring that they know Jesus, they love him, and they want to follow him and be his man and woman for their life. It doesn't fix or change circumstances, but what they have is they have a Lord and a Savior that meets with them, that holds them, and it's through his power and redemption that they are able to walk in freedom. They are to walk in hope and promise. And the baptism itself is just their obedient demonstration of that unseen reality in their life. It is an offer that is extended to all of us. If you don't know who Christ is, you can know him and be counted as one of his children. I think that's the end of my, yep. Just going to end there. Just to bring it back to a little bit of a music theme, because I started with the festival, and to appeal to young people. I want to just read verses from a Switchfoot song. And like Bruce, I can't remember it without reading it. And these, my very first youth pastor in Karori had these words printed on his door as you walked into his office. And it's a beautiful thing because it reminds us of who we are. And in light of that, who Christ is. And it's just this one verse. It says, we are a beautiful letdown, painfully uncool. The church of the dropouts, the losers, the sinners, the failures, and the fools. What a beautiful letdown. Are we salt in the wound? Hey, let us sing one true tune. It's not about the people in the water. It's about what Jesus has done for those two young people getting in the water today. Let me just pray. Lord, we thank you for your love towards us. We thank you for your salvation, your redemption, your restoration, that you bring us to wholeness. We particularly lift up Merrick and Azaria to you today and their family. Thank you that they are two young people that love you and know you and want to follow you. May that be the cry of their heart each and every day for the rest of their lives. Watch over them and protect them in the days to come. Be a comfort and a strength to them in times of need. Be the source of their joy and contentment in all of life, Lord, we pray. Amen.